Breaking news, a victory for the United States and the world as U.S. Special Operation Forces kill ISIS Caliph, ISIS leader, who was on the run, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, dead at 48.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Last night was a great night for the United States and for the world. A brutal killer, one who has caused so much hardship and death, has violently been eliminated. He will never again harm another innocent man, woman, or child. He died like a dog. He died like a coward. The world is now a much safer place.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's a good day for the world and a real blow to the ISIS organization. He was the spiritual leader. He was their heart and soul. He is dead. The caliphate has been destroyed because President Trump changed the rules.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So key there, in what is a great day for America and for the world, see the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who declared himself in July 2014, as the head of ISIS as a caliph, and that the Muslim world should establish a caliphate. And their territorial governance began to grow, not just in Syria and Iraq, but with affiliates around the world who were governing as part of this ISIS caliphate. Remember, it was in July, the same month that the caliphate was declared by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that President Obama referred to them as the JV squad, said, you know, you don't just put on a Lakers jersey and become a Laker. Well, totally miscalculated what ISIS would become, the brutality that they would inflict on not just Syrians and Iraqis, not just on Muslims and the Christian minorities, Yazidis and others in the region, but the terrorist attacks they would that would occur around the world, as well as the ISIS-inspired attacks around the world. I mean, you can't even go through all of them in a single broadcast. Now, the caliphate, as Lindsey Graham said, rules of engagement were changed, and the caliphate was destroyed by President Trump and the U.S. military, but based off President Trump's orders, on December of 2018. Since then, people like Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi have been in hiding. Really, he was in hiding since he gave that speech announcing the caliphate, but they went into extreme hiding and have been tracked as a number one priority to be either captured or killed. In this case, it appeared in all likelihood it would have to be a kill mission. But understand who we're talking about here. This is a man who carried out beheadings, crucifixions, killed children, women, burned people alive, all these public executions. This was the most brutal terror group we have seen in modern times. And not only was it brutal, they broadcast their brutality to recruit others, in a sense, knowing that this kind of brutality would in fact help recruitment. So they tapped in to a very scary part of the world and of the human mind to recruit from all over the world. Whether it was Americans or Europeans primarily or other Muslims or people converting to Islam who liked what they saw in these horrific videos. Just remember when they paraded at 21 captured Egyptian Coptic Christians who were working as construction workers in Libya. They captured them and they put them on in the orange jumpsuit. There were 21 of them. And they paraded them on a beach. They would not convert to Islam. And they beheaded them one by one. You know what they called them? People of the cross. And they sent it out as a warning to the people of the cross. The president was right when he called Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi at the end nothing but a scared, whimpering dog. Words that mean something, by the way, in the Middle East. The media has kind of forgotten that. But words that really mean something. He was a coward. He was a disgrace to the Muslim world. He was a disgrace to humanity. And it is a great day for the world, for the United States, that he is dead and no longer with us. We'll be right back.
The Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Let me play President Trump, because I think this is very important. It's an important message to not just for Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, but for all terrorists. And there will still be terrorists who affiliate with ISIS, though the caliphate has been destroyed. There are still terrorists who affiliate with al-Qaeda, though bin Laden and the heir to al-Qaeda, his son, have been killed. There will always be this kind of Islamic extremism for, I think, as long as I'm alive, that aims to attack ultimately the West if it can, but if not, symbols of the West. And one of the symbols they consider of the West is Christianity. And so our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East face this threat most seriously, because if they can't get to the West, they use symbols of the West and they see Christianity as a symbol of the West, even though it's a religion that was founded in the same place, the religion, the so-called version of Islam they follow, was found in the same exact region of the world. But take a listen to President Trump sending this message to all of would-be terrorists and current terrorist organizers. And by the way, backing it up with yet another major blow to ISIS the following day. It hasn't gotten as much attention, but first let's hear from President Trump.
Terrorists who oppress and murder innocent people should never sleep soundly, knowing that we will completely destroy them. These savage monsters will not escape their fate, and they will not escape the final judgment of God.
Think about that. And let's remember, not just the thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, who were killed, maimed, and displaced by ISIS. The thousands, tens of thousands of women raped, killed by ISIS. The children raped, killed, even crucified by ISIS. The beheadings because of their faith, because of an accusation of even their sexuality, because they would not convert to Islam, or they would not join the Islamic State. And let's not forget the Americans that we know were brutally killed by ISIS. Chief Warrant Officer Jonathan Farmer, Stephen Joel Sotloff, James Foley, and Kayla Mueller. You know, Kayla Mueller, who was initially a slave, captured as a slave to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and ultimately killed. I don't have all those details there. But this mission was named after her. It was Operation Mueller. And I want to go right to Skip Ash, who is a senior counsel at the ACLJ and ECLJ and heads our national security practice. He is served in the U.S. Army and at both at the Pentagon and at the NATO desk, and has got a significant military background as well as legal background and law of war background. Skip, I want to talk about, one, the significance here of the mission that was carried out on Saturday. Nothing leaked about this. There was no indication at all. In fact, there was, you know, all this criticism about the Syria troop pullout, what we do, what were we doing here, what were we doing there, a ceasefire between Turkey and the Kurds, which you have to question too, was the ceasefire part of the strategy here to calm things down so that we could get special operations troops and forces through in the safest way possible, because we had to go through into some pretty hostile territory that the U.S. did not normally operate in Syria.
Well, first of all, let's say kudos to our men and women in uniform, yes, who trained for these types of missions. I just think it's marvelous that they were able to do this, and they train for this type of thing all the time. Delta Force and the Special Forces, Rangers, SEALs, all of these people in all of our armed forces trained to do this. You know, this was one of the most brutal persons living in the world today, and even the fellow Muslims were turning on him because he was so brutal. It's amazing when you have a group like Al-Qaeda that turns on him because he was too brutal, and that's exactly what he was. The significance, I think, is pretty important. First, he had proclaimed himself to be the caliph. That's God's representative on earth, and he just got killed. So I think that takes away the legitimacy of those who may have followed him. I think there will be a reaction by some of his followers, but at the same time, we have established once again that he was not the caliph. He did not enjoy God's favor, or else he would have been able to accomplish what he wanted. So I think this is significant. There's going to be probably a couple of reactions around the world where people come back, but I think for the long term, I think it's a significant step. Let's remember, historically, the Muslims rise for a period of time, cause trouble, and then they go back into a dormant state. They have to be put down violently each time they rise. This is one of the responses to that, and I give kudos to the president for his decisions.
It was interesting, Skip, as well. We don't know yet about all the intelligence that was gathered. We know that they spent hours there gathering intelligence and ultimately destroyed this compound completely. We know, though, that the very next day, and it's not getting reported as heavily, but I have a feeling it was probably linked to some intelligence that was gathered right there on site, that the lead spokesperson for ISIS was killed by U.S. Special Operations Forces the very next day in a totally different part of Syria. So while there may be, as you said, those kind of a reaction by those affiliated with ISIS, when we see these major leaders taken down, it is ultimately a huge blow to their organizations. While there may be the immediate reactions and the true believers that try to carry out, you've got the, you know, a number two who is named by ISIS as their next leader. But the truth is, though the extremism continues and Islamic terrorism continues, when it comes to this group, they lost what they were really known for, which was their caliphate. They were a governing body who held on to a significant portion of land throughout different countries that crossed borders. Once they lost that, they continued to carry out some brutal attacks, but were basically, as we found out, were hiding in areas that they weren't even in control of, like where ultimately Abu Bakr Baghdadi was found by our special forces and terminated. But we're obviously gathering a lot of information from what was at that compound, because very next day, though not reported as heavily, the lead ISIS spokesperson is dead as well.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a morale problem in the long term for these folks, but not just that. They're going to start looking around to find out if anybody in their own ranks was the one who tipped off what was going on. Do they have, you know, a spy within their own ranks? I think there's going to be some type of reaction in that mode where they're going to be looking at each other and finding out who is the one who betrayed the leader and so forth. And I think that's healthy for outside groups to churn that up. And it would not surprise me if there were actually people that did turn him in or give information, because a lot of people that have gone there with this idealistic thing that he was going to establish the caliphate and bring in the return of the, you know, the creation of a totally Islamic world have been disappointed. Their dreams have been shattered, and it would not surprise me if they realized that this guy was a fraud, and therefore they turned on him. And I think there's going to be some type of serious navel gazing on the part of those who are still associated with ISIS.
The men and women in our armed forces take serious risk when they're even planning for these missions, and practicing these missions can be dangerous to their lives because of, again, the risk involved in just the kind of maneuvers they're going to have to make, the way they're going to have to fly the helicopters, what the helicopters and who the helicopters are going to have to fly over, and then what kind of response. Of course, this is done at night. You're going to receive, and we know that there was a pretty active response to our U.S. military. The fact, Skip, that not a single U.S. member of our armed forces lost their life, only two minor injuries and one minor injury to one of our canines. That was one of the canines who chased Baghdadi back into that that tunnel, which had no exit. But again, just to underscore how well prepared our military is. I mean, we, you know, praise God, no one was injured in the U.S. Military because seriously, and that no one lost their life because they were facing real gunfire and bombs going off and suicide vests and all of that. But it just shows you how prepared they can be to operate, even in what was likely, very dark and very very difficult situation.
Absolutely. I mean, the American military's mantra is you train as you will fight. So we conduct very serious, very real time and very similar to combat exercises. And periodically you will see reports where members of our armed forces were killed in a training exercise. That's because we have to train as we're going to fight. And so these guys are very well trained, and they went in and demonstrated it.
Folks, when we come back, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And the response by the media, pretty fair at first. But now there's questions about, why didn't Pelosi get informed? We got a call about that. It's a good call. We'll take it. 1-800-684-3110. And the Washington Post, just shame on the Washington Post. The White House was right to cancel their subscription to them. The New York Times, I must say, got the headline right. Got to give credit where credit is due. But, I mean, so unfortunate. But great update from Skip there on the military aspects of this and the ramifications. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
question to you. I know we've been trying to get the information out to you about the death of the ISIS founder, leader, brutal terrorist, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. We wanted to talk about the military significance of the mission itself and the significance it would mean to ISIS as an organization, which no longer operates as a caliphate, but still tries to operate as a terrorist group, no doubt about that. What do you think, I'm asking you, listeners, to call in and tell us, is the significance of the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS? And do you think people remember just how brutal this organization was, not because of what we read about their brutality, but because of the propaganda that they put out? They showed you the burning alive of the Jordanian pilot. They showed you the crucifixions. They showed you the kids being killed. They showed you kids being used as executioners. They showed you the Coptic Christians, being 21 of them lined up on a beach, put in orange jumpsuits, and they're having their throats slit. They put those in videos to help recruit. They tapped into the darkest aspects of the human mind to recruit fellow would-be caliphate members from all over the world, including the United States. A lot of them from Europe, a lot from Northern Africa. Then they developed allegiances as well. I mean, they became what was the most powerful terror organization that we had probably ever seen. And at a worldwide angle, it didn't last very long. It was declared in 2014 as a caliphate by Baghdadi. At that one time, you see him speaking. He's in a mosque in Mosul, Iraq. And ultimately, the caliphate was destroyed in 2018. Of course, this was an organization that President Obama first labeled as JV, Junior Varsity. Just to go through some examples, the second largest terror attack in history was carried out by ISIS. It was June of 2014 when ISIS killed unarmed 1,566 Iraqi Air Force cadets in an attack on a camp in Tikrit, Iraq. That is the second deadliest terror attack, not just Islamic, terrorist attack in history, and of course the deadliest by ISIS. Number one being 9/11, number two being this attack by ISIS. You may remember the series of attacks that kind of led to the caliphate becoming, led up to the announcement of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi making the announcement that they would declare a caliphate. So the beginning year of ISIS in 2013, where over 700 people were dead and 1,000 injured after attacks in Iraq in April and May of 2013. Maybe October 2015, when ISIS bombed a flight en route from Egypt to St. Petersburg that killed 224. The November 2015 Paris attacks, remember the Bataclan Theater during the concert, shootings, suicide bombings, hostage takings, 131 killed, 413 injured. In Baghdad in 2016, 300 killed in July, injured over 200 because of bombings. In the Philippines of May of 2017, you had terrorists burning schools and killing and other buildings, killing 593 people. The June 2017 London ISIS attack, where the van drove into pedestrians and three men started stabbing people in nearby bars, 8 killed, 48 injured. July of 2018, you saw a string of suicide bombings in Syria, killing at least 246 people. In 2019, in April, Sri Lanka, of course, on Easter, targeting Christians, 259 Christians killed and over 500 injured, 45 of the dead Christians on Easter Sunday killed by ISIS bombings were children. They targeted three churches in Sri Lanka. And of course, this is just a sample. The New York Times put out the full list. We don't have time to go through it today. I mean, the full list of all of the ISIS and ISIS-inspired terror attacks that occurred while ISIS existed. Again, in the time period between kind of their beginning in 2013 and their end in 2019, the end of the caliphate, the end of 2018, 2019. But first, we thank our troops who planned this mission, the intelligence community, and our allies who worked on figuring out where Baghdadi was. He did not make many public appearances at all. In fact, since he made that Mosul speech in 2014, he was never really seen again. So it was all a game of intelligence and figuring out human intel and electronic intelligence where he was. And then we thank our U.S. troops who went in right into harm's way to kill this coward who, as President Trump said, died like a whimpering dog. And let me underscore, because we've got guests on, Andy Economou as well as Harry Hutchinson. Andy, the symbolism of the use of the word dog there, to Americans, I know we elevate the dog as kind of like man's best friend. In the Muslim world, that is not the truth. Probably the only the worst thing you could call someone in the Muslim world than a dog is a pig. And so to use that language, the president wasn't just saying that to sound tough and mean and to belittle Baghdadi, but he was sending a message to the Muslim world as this guy that some of you followed as a leader, as a caliph, blessed by God, died like the whimpering dog. That means something in the Muslim world.
It means a lot. It means the worst, the lowest. It's like throwing shoes at people that happened to President Bush at that news conference, if you remember. Symbolism has a great role that it plays in everything. These symbolic attacks that occur, Jordan, that you went through with Christians on Christian holidays such as Easter and Christmas, those are not just happenstance. Those are planned and they're intentional. And to call him a dog and that he was actually snuffed out by a military dog is even sort of doubly horrendous. This person who the New Washington Post called the senior spiritual advisor and who described him as messianic and who said that he had lines traceable to Muhammad, a religious scholar, elevating somebody from St. Thomas Aquinas to Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. Those headlines and that article made me nauseated to read that. But yes, dog is what he was, and dog is what he died as.
Let me go quickly to Harry Hutchinson as well. Harry, we're going to talk about the second half hour, especially how some of the media just got this absolutely wrong in trying to, I guess, politically correctly describe this leader and how you describe him after he was killed. But I just want to remind people, it wasn't actually a U.S. bullet or bomb that ultimately led to Baghdadi's death. It was a suicide vest he was wearing, and he grabbed three kids along the way, which I think just, you know, when Donald Trump says he'll have to answer to God, just for that, he'll have to answer to God of dragging three children to their certain death, as President Trump said. This was the worst of the worst.
Yes, so one of the world's most wanted criminals died cowardly, despite the Washington Post attempt to whitewash Baghdadi's brutality.
We will talk about that when we come back. 1-800-684-3110, second half hour coming up. How some in the mainstream media just, they got it so wrong. I mean, it took them three times to get a headline right and a half-hearted, not even apology. Give us a call as well to be on the show, 1-800-684-3110.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I don't want you to forget that my dad was the author. I was one of the co-authors of The Rise of ISIS. It was a number one New York Times bestseller. It was published back in, I think, June of 2015. So just after the declaration that there was this caliphate. And it was before anyone took ISIS seriously. And we did. And the book, again, because of us taking it seriously, and kind of as we were writing it, ISIS was on the rise, as the book title says, and starting to take more and more territory, become more and more brutal. And suddenly, the world had this problem on their hands, a serious problem on their hands to deal with, not just isolated in Syria and Iraq, but it was spreading throughout North Africa, spreading into Europe, spreading into the United States of America as well, as they were recruiting from all over the world and affiliating with other Islamic terror groups throughout the world as well. That book, The Rise of ISIS, was the first book on the Islamic State. It was a number one New York Times bestseller, and it was written before anyone took ISIS, including our president, President Obama at the time, took him seriously. So it's still available if you go to places like Amazon, still available through Kindle. But The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, don't forget that as a number one New York Times bestseller. It hit that New York Times list at November 1st of 2014. So that must have been the second release of the paperback. That was the updated release of the paperback in 2015. It hit the New York Times list. So it was 2014. So, I mean, this book was right on the cusp of ISIS becoming anything. And we knew that this was a danger and a threat. And a lot of people wanted to learn about this group. And it became that number one New York Times bestseller, The Rise of ISIS. In my new book, The Next Red Wave, which is available from a lot of different places. If you go to thenextredwave.com, we spend a significant amount of time talking about how difficult it was dealing with the Obama administration on getting them to recognize that what ISIS was doing was, in fact, a genocide of religious minorities. And finally, ultimately, they and the United Nations took those steps. But we go through in the book. So it's part of The Next Red Wave, too, because in The Next Red Wave, what we want to do is remind you what it's like when you don't have a Trump-type administration in power and you're dealing with a group like ISIS that isn't being taken seriously like it wasn't by the past administration. And so that elections are very serious, including the upcoming election, November 3rd of 2020. If you want to check that book out, again, it's still very new, The Next Red Wave, and it's relevant to these topics as well. NextRedWave.com has all the different places you can buy the book online, whether you want the hardback, the ebook, the audio book, and of course, it's in bookstores as well. If your bookstore is sold out of it, they will order the book for you if you'd like to do it that way as well. But I also wanted to remind you that from that book being published in 2014, The Rise of ISIS, which is the number one New York Times bestseller, to The Next Red Wave, which was just published in September of 2019, the threat from ISIS was still real, and we were still using, really, ISIS as an example also of good, how you defeat terrorism and how you recognize it so that you can use all international options available to defeat it. And then the other side of it, which is the, you know, calling it the JV team. And I'll give you this kind of as we go into the next break, and then we're going to get really into detail here and take some of your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. The Washington Post, their obituary, they had to publish three for Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The first was pretty strong. It said, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Islamic State's terrorist-in-chief, dies at 48. I'm good with that. Very strong headline there for his obituary. But that didn't last long. Like, it lasted minutes. So they got criticized for that. Their second obituary was outrageous. I got this out on my social media, Facebook and Twitter yesterday. But many of you may not have seen this yet. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. That is just, it's disgusting. And the extreme backlash the Washington Post received was justified. Finally, they got their headline, third headline, it was fine. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, extremist leader of Islamic State, dies at 48.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Get your thoughts on this throughout the show, and that is how significant you believe the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, is for the U.S. and the world in its fight against Islamic terrorism. And just your opinion. I mean, and there's no wrong or right opinion. I just want to see how kind of folks around the country are interpreting this. And if you'd like to, again, provide your opinion, you have time to do it by getting on the show today at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Before getting back into a full explanation of the Washington Post not being able to figure out how to write a headline because of political correctness about a brutal terrorist leader who raped and killed thousands, who crucified, beheaded, and burned people alive, who tried to destroy Christianity, destroy other religious minorities, took women as slaves, and then killed them, including an American. Which this operation, Operation Mueller, was named after. Again, and not being able to get the headline right, I did want to take Scott's call from Colorado because Scott's been hanging on. There's some kind of criticism about this, and the president was asked about it in the press conference following. And so Scott's been hanging on. Let's make sure Scott gets a copy of the next Red Wave, which also gets into ISIS as well and how the previous administration was dealing with it versus this administration, how different it has been. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Okay, Jordan, thanks for my call. Yes, I have a comment, and I'll finish with a question for you. Yeah, I've been watching liberal media, too, the MSDNCs of the world, who are denouncing this as a victory, even though they praised Obama for taking out bin Laden in 2010.
Yeah.
But the Dems are complaining now that the Speaker of the House was not informed. And I don't know the protocol on this, but it seems to me that Dems are fully untrustworthy with information. They have a whistleblower addiction. And I would ask, who are they more committed to? Has their hatred for the president forced them to be more supportive of an al-Baghdadi than our nation or even mankind?
Yeah, I think, listen, he has no obligation. One of the congressmen was on this morning, and it may have been Kissinger, and all he said was, if the president had an obligation to inform Congress about every special operations event that was occurring around the world all the time, Congress wouldn't even be able to do function. So the president had no obligation to inform Congress or any member of Congress about this operation. Could he choose to if he wanted to? Yes. Could he choose the members he wanted to inform? Yes, absolutely. But he had zero obligation under any laws, under the Constitution, under any rules to notify anyone. And I think he was completely justified with this many lives on the line, including, we're talking about American lives on the line, and the ability to take out such a brutal, the number one wanted terrorist in the world, to risk telling someone like Pelosi or Schiff because of their political leadership roles, even though you know their offices are known for leaking, would have been a bad decision. And he noted that he didn't hide his decision about that. That's why he didn't tell them. He didn't trust them with the information when it's U.S. lives that were going to be at risk. And while ultimately it is the U.S. military and intelligence services who deserve the praise for being able to carry it out, it is the president who has to make the call to send the troops in, knowing that most of the time these kind of well-planned attacks don't turn out as well as this one did. You may still get your target, but you suffer losses. And fortunately this time, it turned out extremely well. Just a couple of minor injuries to our troops and one minor injury to our dog. But Scott, absolutely no requirement for notification. I want to get back to the Washington Post thing, because I think this is what is so outrageous. Washington Post, we can put up on the screen for Facebook and Periscope, but just listen closely if you're like most of our audience on radio. And it's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JordanSeculo ACLJ. I tweeted it out as well. Their first obituary headline for Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was fine. It was actually pretty strong. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Islamic State's terrorist-in-chief, dies at 48. Now, that only lasted minutes, which means the Islamic world or some kind of politically correct liberals said, oh, that's too strong to call him terrorist-in-chief, so we've got to change it. The second headline is what caused just an extreme, totally justified backlash against the Washington Post. Sean Hannity said it well, too. But this was the second headline. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. Now, before we get to what they finally, when they finally kind of got their headline right, let me go first to Andy, then to Harry, their reactions to an obituary for someone as, we've gone through the brutality on the show today without people being too disgusted to even listen. I mean, that's sometimes when you're talking about all of ISIS brutality, it is disgusting and disturbing. I want people to be listening to the broadcast and get educated. The fact that in that headline, you wouldn't, if you weren't really well informed, so you didn't know the name of the ISIS leader, you'd say this. So someone who was very religious scholar and austere died at 48 years old, and he was involved with this Islamic State thing. I mean, it doesn't even tell you the story about who you're reading an obituary about.
No, I mean, austere religious leader could be, as I've said, it could be Saint Augustine. It could be any one of the apostles of Christ to describe them as an austere religious leader at the helm of the Islamic State is not to characterize him for the bloodthirsty tyrant, mass executioner, killer, murderer that he was. And when you read the article, Jordan, it really makes you sick, because they say that they're saying this Islamic State mirrors its leader, a messianic figure. Do you know what that means? You are liking him to the Messiah, to the chosen of God, to the coming of the into the world of someone like Christ the Savior, drawn to the harshest interpretation of Islamic texts, like a rabbi who reads seriously the text of the Torah, sees with the conviction that dissenters should be put to death. These are statements, and then call him a canny pragmatist. And then I went on and just looked at this article, and it made me sick. It really characterized for me the kind of trashy publication that the Washington Post has become and is. I remember particularly what you mentioned, lining up 21 persons on the shores of the Mediterranean, all of whom were Coptic Christians, yeah. One sub-Saharan African who said, I am with them. Yeah. I don't know what they believe, but I'm with them. And then executing them by cutting their throats. This is the kind of person who they characterize as an austere religious scholar at the helm of Islam? I don't think so.
ISIS described those 21 who were executed that day on that beach in those orange jumpsuits by slitting their throats as people of the cross and enemies of Islam. People of the cross. I mean, you can't get any more specific than that. Followers of Jesus Christ, Christians. And finally, the Washington Post headline. So this is the third time, and this was all happening in a matter of what, like less than an hour? Yeah, less than an hour. They kind of get it right. So Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, extremist leader of Islamic State, dies at 48. That's about, I guess, as good as you could imagine Washington Post would get to. But then, Harry, they took it a step further. They had their VP of communications. I mean, this is how bad it got for Washington Post yesterday, which to me, it just underscored, you know, we talk about fake news, you know, the next red wave. We talk about that in the book. We talk about how the media is just so biased and so politically correct that they can't even get out basic facts anymore because it may be offensive to people. It may just be too truthful, too honest. This is what their VP of communications tweeted out, Harry. Regarding our al-Baghdadi obituary, the headline should never have read that way, and we changed it quickly. How else could you read, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State dies at 48? I mean, they're blaming the way I read it as the reason they had to change it?
Yes.
They didn't apologize for the headline.
This is certainly the Washington Post's finest hour in an ironic sense. It exposes them as transparent apologists for one of the world's most brutal leaders. Baghdadi was nothing more than a walking atrocity. He was not an apostle of scholarly research, as the Washington Post seems to suggest. They go on to say that he was an austere religious scholar with wire-framed glasses and no known aptitude for fighting and killing.
They kept that in the obituary. I want people to know they may have taken it out of the headline.
They kept
all that
in
language
the
about
text.
How he was obscure academic and a professor of Islamic law and austere. That was all in the obituary. They just hid that from you after the headline got so much backlash. Right, Harry?
Absolutely. And so rather than listing all of the attacks inspired by Baghdadi in Paris, in Sri Lanka, in London, in the Philippines, and the hundreds of thousands of people killed in the Syrian civil war by ISIS, the Washington Post wants to almost give him an award.
I'll tell you who got it right. We come back to the New York Times. We'll read that headline for you. They got it right.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Washington Post, if you flash back to, like, what, 1945, I guess, and the Washington Post headline was, "A Misunderstood Painter and Orator Dead at 56, if they were talking about Adolf Hitler. That's what it was like, that second headline they had to change. It was like if the first headline was slaughter of millions in death camps, dead at 56. Oh, that's too offensive, so we have to change it to "A Misunderstood Painter and Orator Dead at 56. I mean, switch it back to something else. I have to give credit to the New York Times. Their headline was clear. It was fair, as it should be. This should not be political at all. This should be a time when Americans unite. Of course, it becomes partisan immediately, unfortunately. But the New York Times got it right. Their headline, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, ISIS leader known for his brutality, is dead at 48. See, they made sure to get in there, in the headline for his obituary, exactly about what was he known for. Not just being the head of ISIS, but for specifically the brutality that he inflicted and that he encouraged others to inflict. And there's been outrage, too, from the Muslim world. One of the MSNBC contributors, and this is again on MSNBC, wrote this to the Washington Post. "Wow, Washington Post has now decided that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the world's most wanted terrorist whose reign of terror killed and oppressed millions of Muslims, is an austere, quote, austere religious scholar. What a joke headline." He said, "Instead, you should write, Washington Post, the world's most wanted terrorist who killed, terrorized, and oppressed millions of Muslims during his reign of terror has died in a U.S. operation." That's coming not from some Fox News contributor, but a contributor to MSNBC, and someone who, again, their position would be, I think, considered to the left. It gets even crazier, though, because there's this talk about, do we have the sound of President Trump referring to him as the dog? I want to play that for people to kind of set this up, because it gets even crazier from some Hollywood liberals. Not kidding you. Hollywood liberals as well. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, but listen to President Trump.
"Last night was a great night for the United States and for the world. A brutal killer, one who has caused so much hardship and death, has violently been eliminated. He will never again harm another innocent man, woman, or child. He died like a dog. He died like a coward. The world is now a much safer place."
This is what Jamie Lee Curtis tweeted. Hollywood liberal, maybe tweeting too quickly. She tweeted this: "He may have died a coward, but all living," and she tweeted to Donald Trump, "but all living things suffer when they are blown up. Anyone who's experienced warfare, unlike yourself, would know that. War is brutal. Dogs are brave, bold, loyal, loving, and healing. As Dana on Facebook wrote, it's poetic how the military canine is a hero here in America. It's in America where we understand the dog is one of man's best friend and is a major asset to policing and military operations and they're trained to do so. But saying that he died like a whimpering dog means something in the Muslim world." So people, you know, these immediate reactions from the left and from leftists in Hollywood too. This is what Nate Silver wrote back. Again, not a Trump supporter. You know, he does the 538, does all the tracking numbers. He wrote back, "It's really amazing how many liberals can't even permit Trump to have one good day after U.S. forces kill perhaps the world's most wanted terrorist." And I think, you know, as we kind of finish out today's broadcast, that was kind of the absurdity of yesterday that I felt, is that, you know, when Osama bin Laden was killed, I celebrated it. And I celebrated President Obama. I didn't always like his tactics. I didn't like the way he was even handling ISIS, but we celebrated it as Americans. And yet Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, is killed, and Donald Trump is getting booed at a baseball game last night. This just shows you how different America is a few years later. Andy?
Yes, regrettably, it's not the country I grew up in, and the change is not always good. But when I hear newspapers like the Washington Post who refuse to admit the brutality of this person who carried out mass crucifixions, turned female captives into slaves, executed prisoners by stoning, hacking, burning them alive, always with his blessing, always at his supervision, direction, and control, and they can't admit that, and they can only implicitly say it within the context of his military operation and his brilliance in the pulpit of the Islamic world, it really makes me ill to read articles like that. Give the president his due. The president presided over this operation. He is to has the credit ultimately for it, and it is the dog of the Muslim world, really, as someone has said on Facebook here, how poetic that the military canine is the hero here yep. in America, because the person who perfected the art of terror, al-Baghdadi, died like a whimpering dog. And you know, Jordan, is something really interesting. He took his children with him. Do you know who else took his children with him? Joseph Goebbels in the Hitler bunker killed every one of his children so that they would not have to live in a post-non-Hitler world. This is the kind of person al-Baghdadi was.
And these are children who, again, may not have been able to grow up in the best of circumstances, but they wouldn't have been necessarily, they were young, by all accounts. They wouldn't have been blamed for their father's atrocities and could have been taken care of and had a chance in life. And instead, I think in a final reminder of just how brutal and disgusting every member of ISIS was, and the fate of every ISIS fighter that has died at the hands of the U.S. military or others, whether it's by bombings, by guns, and those who will continue to be hunted down by our U.S. military, is well-deserved, is by this final act of cowardice by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And Harry, it wasn't just by him being prepared to take his own life to avoid capture and interrogation, but by taking three children along with him, which, again, it was the end of a tunnel. He wasn't going to be captured alive, so he wasn't trying to use them as kind of hostages. It was another act of just a lack of care of human life on Earth, of brutality, of his disturbed nature. And unfortunately, that disturbing nature that his organization was able to tap into around the world, that we've got to be so careful about in the future. They use this imagery. They use this kind of brutality to actually recruit men and women to come and leave their comfortable lives and join them. And I think that's what we have to watch out for in the future, because, as Andy said, our world has changed.
Absolutely. So al-Baghdadi's last act, killing his own children, is simply a perfect metaphor of both his life and his philosophy. And the perniciousness of his philosophy was on full display. But notwithstanding that, notwithstanding his horrific record, the Washington Post, perhaps suffering from what might be called a Trump derangement syndrome, simply suggests that he was an austere scholar. You cannot make this nonsense up.
I'm proud of my president. I'm kind of disgusted by the fans at the baseball game last night. I don't think they would have done that to President Obama after it was announced that bin Laden was killed. I'm proud of our country and our troops. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.